from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Truth, live from the booth, always speaks 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about culture and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Tina Talks Truth radio show. We have just a remarkable individual that I'm interviewing today. According to the Foster Club, over 400,000 youth are in foster care. The individual that we're interviewing today is Shante. Shante actually entered foster care at 7 years old. Shante has a remarkable story of strength, perseverance, and forgiveness. We are so blessed to have Shante on our show today. Real quick, I just want to thank everybody for texting and emailing and messaging me. I am so excited for this radio show. Not only are we international, God has blessed so many people with hope and joy and laughter and healing through this radio show. So I thank you. I thank you for sharing Tina Talks Truth radio show with your friends and your family. And I thank you. I thank all of our guests. I have guests booked up for the next like 2 or 3 months. It's just unbelievable. All the people that God is bringing to Tina Talks Truth radio show. Our guest is Shante. She's an author. And she's a mother, and she is an unbelievable individual. Her interview reminds me of Isaiah 7:9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. You're going to want to take a listen to Shante's story, because not only did she stand firm in her faith, but she was able to walk through pain and abandonment and many sufferings to actually show and display forgiveness to the one person that brought a lot of pain on. Here's Shante. May is National Foster Care Month, and we are so excited to have Shante with us today. And Shante is actually a foster care alumni. Hi, Shante.
Hi, and hello, everyone.
And thank you so much for taking time to share with us on Tina Talks Truth radio show. Just a little bit about your history and your past. And we had discussed that you actually went into foster care at 7 years old. Can you share with us your story?
That's correct. I entered foster care when I was 7 years old, as you stated. My mother was an alcoholic and a drug addict. My family decided that my mother could no longer provide for us, and at that time, they made it their mission to take me from my mom. And although I didn't enter into the foster care facility, I became a ward of the state, and I bounced from home to home within my own family.
In about how many homes were you bounced from?
I bounced from, it was predominantly two. I had two aunts that really stepped up to the plate and decided that they were going to take me in.
And so at 7 years old, did you understand exactly what was happening?
I didn't understand exactly what was happening. I knew my mom was sick, but things were constantly covered up from my aunts. When I would live with them, they would say things to me like, don't worry about your mom. That's not your problem. That's not your situation to be concerned about. That if she gets better, she gets better. If she doesn't get better, that's none of your business.
Okay, so you were actually freed of that responsibility of controlling her or curing her. Wow, that's a blessing, because a lot of time, you know, children of addicts and alcoholics, they take on that responsibility that they feel like they have to cure their parent or they have to control all of their behavior. So that's pretty incredible. Hats off to your aunties, you know, for teaching you that. I'm sure that was a struggle for them. Was this their sister?
Yes, my mother was their sister. And to them, they were doing their sister a favor, not a favor for the child. They were doing a favor for their sister. And yeah. I was constantly reminded that I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for my sister, so you don't end up in a foster home.
Wow. And was there any help offered to you in regards to counseling or therapy or support groups?
I did. I actually had a counselor come out and a therapist that I would see monthly. And truly, everything that I was going through, even though they were my aunts, I was still emotionally abused. I was physically abused. I was verbally abused. And I couldn't tell the counselor these things because of the threats that my aunts would give me if I told them. I mean, they gave me the horror stories of what my life could be like if I was to tell that I was getting hurt or that something was wrong in the house. I would end up in this facility, and to them, my life would be worse than what it is that they were doing.
Oh, how sad. I'm so sorry to hear that you underwent all of that abuse. And, you know, what I always tell young people that have undergone any kind of abuse, or anyone, any age, is it wasn't your fault. Secrets keep you sick. And that's what it sounds like, the dysfunction of that family. Even though you were removed from living with your mother, who is the alcoholic and addict, but you were placed still in the dysfunction of the family, which I just want everyone to know out there that if there's an alcoholic or a drug addict in your family, it is a family disease. It affects everyone. And behaviors, because people start to enable that alcoholic and that addict. And so it really does affect everybody. People get abusive. People get neglectful. Oftentimes you hear of other children that are the lost children. And because there's so much attention put on that alcoholic or that addict, that the children get lost in all of it. And there's a lot of neglect. So I'm so sorry to hear that you had gone through that abuse and in the secrets. And which point was it that you had a little bit of hope, maybe a glimpse of hope that kind of changed your life?
My hope relied on the visitations that I was able to get when I was able to see my mom. So it wasn't often that I got to see her. And to me, those days were amazing. I was happy to get out of my aunt's house. I knew that I wasn't going to get any spankings because my aunt would beat me with a marble horse brush. The moments where they were like, "You're going to see your mom this weekend," I would be so happy. But it always seemed like before I left, I was going to get some type of beating for some random reason. Aww. And of course, I couldn't tell my mom.
Yes.
Because I didn't want her to try to fight.
Yeah. So what was that like when you would see your mom and you would actually spend time with her?
It was great. I felt normal. I felt like I didn't have to hide the fact that I had a mom. So to see her, she always was really, really caring. "Do you need anything? Can I get this for you?" And a lot of times she didn't have a lot. So when I went to see her, she was staying with a man. So there was always some type of man in the picture who would just provide that roof so she would be able to have her visitation day.
Were you in foster care to 18? Did you age out?
I aged out. I did.
And so in that time, you know, I do have to just interject that. For so long, society, I think we were looking at youth that were fatherless. But I'm seeing more and more females that are motherless. And you brought up a good point that you felt normal. You felt like you had a mother and that you didn't have to hide the fact that you didn't live with her and that she was struggling with addictions. That is like monumental. I think for you at such a young age to come to that place of, wow, this actually feels normal for me and I don't have to, you know, lie or put up this front. So how is your relationship with your mother today?
I'm actually the mother now. The roles have been reversed. I've learned and I told myself that I lost my mom to society. Someone placed this poison in front of her and she just sucked it in and became addicted to this. Now she relies on me to help her through. All of these years, my mom has been homeless. You know, she's been addicted strongly. She stopped smoking. She stayed in shelters. And I've even allowed her to stay with me so to make up for not being a mother to me, so she can be a grandparent to my children.
Wow. That is the definition of selfless. Like, what an unselfish act. And I can't imagine the forgiveness that you have had to seek in order to live every day like that. That is just remarkable. Wow. So you are now, the rules have been reversed. You are now mothering your mother, but you're also giving the opportunity to your children to experience this woman that you missed most of your life out on. That is just unbelievable. How many children do you have?
I have two. I have a boy and a girl.
Oh, what are their ages?
16 and 10.
Oh, that's awesome. And so they have a relationship with grandma.
They do. My daughter, which is the youngest, she has the closest relationship. And every time my mom sees her or hears her, she begins to cry. And she always says, "Your daughter reminds me of you. Every time I see her dance around, I see you." And I think she's so connected to her because she misses everything that she wished she could have done.
Mm. So she expresses guilt and shame. And do you think your mother will ever forgive herself?
I don't think so. My mother does not do drugs anymore, but she is still an alcoholic. So I hear a lot of her pain and frustration when she gets drunk. Mm. And at that time is when she starts to yell, scream, and cry. And she tells me how sorry she is and how she was never there and how she apologizes for allowing the family to hurt me and abuse me. And she just breaks down and tells me how much she tried. She tried. She tried. But she couldn't do anything.
Mm. Wow. When did you find your faith? Was it throughout this? Were you brought up in the church? Did you have any role models that were, you know, faith leaders? Or
my aunt, one of my aunts, which is the oldest, she was very, very headstrong. And she went to church. She prayed. She read the Bible nonstop. Before we would leave and get into the car, we had to say a prayer. So it became something that was routine for me. I began saying prayers every time I would get a whooping. And it wasn't long prayers. It was more so like, "Oh, God, please don't let this hurt. God, please don't let this hurt. God, please take this pain away." It was one of those type of prayers. And then it kind of stuck with me. So when someone would hurt me, tease me, I would always ask God to please make it stop. Please don't let the pain stick forever.
And did he answer your prayers?
They weren't always answered. I still felt the pain, but I found strength through prayer.
Yes.
So even though the pain didn't stop, I was able to tolerate it. Even today, when I'm going through the worst pain or things pop up in my life and I want them to stop, now I will ask God in reverse, all of the strength I asked you for, I don't want it anymore. So I feel like God gave me so much strength throughout my praying when I was younger that now I can endure anything because I'm full of strength.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's full of
he
stress.
He tends to do that.
He tends yes. to do that.
You know, he stretches us and, you know, building character, I guess, is what the Bible says, you know? Yeah, it's like, okay, really? Like, I look around me, I'm like, how about her? Why can't you sharpen her up?
Spicy every, you know, other women, they can cry. And I couldn't for the longest.
I'm sure it was probably the same with laughing. You know, I remember going through a long period of my life after a lot of trauma and abuse that I could not laugh. For the life of me, I just could not find, I could not dig deep enough to actually find joy and laugh again. And, you know, and I love that we could laugh together, even though we're talking about, you know, our past and trials and tribulations that we have been through and how God is sharpening us, you know, iron sharpens iron, but we can laugh about it. We, you know, and that's a great coping mechanism, is to be able to just laugh. What would you suggest to any youth that are in foster care right now?
Yes. Been there.
Yes.
I've been there. I completely, during one visitation to see my mom, I was a little older, and I watched her smoke crack through a pipe. I knew the smell of it. I knew the look of it. I seen her paranoia. She literally left me on the street that day during that visitation and told me to walk the streets by myself. And I gave up. I figured I had fought this long to try to get you back as my mother, and I'm not going to fight anymore.
That's huge, you know, because I think a lot of times we get stuck. We get stuck in that pain and we think this is how it's going to be for the rest of our lives. That's a painful place to be, as well as to feel that abandonment. Often children of alcoholics and addicts, they feel that abandonment and they feel like that parent is choosing the alcohol or drug over them. Yeah. And it's so sad. And my heart just breaks, you know, for any children that have to go through that. But like you said, you know, it's made you stronger. And also imagine all the hearts and the lives that you're going to touch because you went through that. You've been there. I know that a lot of the youth in foster care that I've worked with for over 19 years, and I share some of the darkest, you know, places of my life. And they say, wow, I've been there. And just to have somebody say, I've been there and I've gotten through it. It just brings people so much strength. So thank you for that. And you are actually going to be sharing your story in a new book called Dysfunctional Blessing. And we are so excited for you. And I thank you for that courage and that strength, you know, to actually get it out on paper, on words. It's very therapeutic, but at the same time, it's pretty scary, isn't it?
It is. I cried through every word, all over 50,000 of them.
Wow.
Yes.
I have to prepare you because nobody prepared me, you know, after my first book. There's lots of tears while you're writing it and editing it and all that. And there's even more tears afterwards, but they're happy tears because you'll have this sense of fear, like, wow, my story is out there. What's going to happen? But at the same time, you're going to have strangers and people that contact you and say, you told my story and I thank you. And that's the blessing of writing your story. And I encourage everybody, you know, if you're listening right now and you have a story and you've been thinking about writing a book, I encourage you to write that book. Someone needs to hear your story. Dysfunctional Blessing is coming out, you said, in May?
Yes, Lord willing, it will be out by the end of May.
That's incredible. And who's your publisher?
It's Richter Publishing.
Okay. And so where can people find this book?
It's going to be all over, mostly Amazon. We're looking to get it in storefronts, a lot of different online sources starting off with.
Awesome. Okay. I ask all of my guests just four simple questions because Tina Talks Truth is all about, you know, finding hope and joy and laughter and healing. And so I just want to ask you, you know, four of these questions before we wrap up. Why is it important to have hope?
Oh, that keeps life going.
And how do you find your hope?
I find my hope through laughter, having fun. I never stop laughing. I don't care what it is. I can be in the darkest place, and I will still laugh with a friend.
Awesome. Where do you find joy?
Through my kids. I do. Aww. They're my sole purpose of continuing to go on through life.
That's awesome. You already said about laughter, but what really makes you laugh?
I think I make me laugh. I make people laugh. I love that. I'm not afraid to be me. I laugh at anything, honestly. I think I'm just a goofball.
That's great. And how do you know that you've been healed from a past of pain and hurt and abandonment?
I can't say that I've been healed. I'm still working on my healing every day. But I've learned to stop crying from certain parts of my pain just so I can get up and be able to attack each day differently. Healing is a process. It's a huge process. And that's going to take a lot of time and dedication. The person literally has to be mentally ready to let go of all of their pain in order to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. It is. It's a process. And how can we pray for youth in foster care?
We can pray for clarity, strength, protection, and guidance. Become a foster mom because I know the pain.
Yeah. But you still have time.
I do. I just want to be healed. I want to be healed. I don't want them to see my pain through my eyes.
Yes, and mentorship is powerful. I'm always encouraging people, just become a mentor. These youth, just an hour a week, these youth just need, you know, one healthy, positive person in their life. It can really change their life and their attitude. Let's go back to the book. So Dysfunctional Blessing, it's coming out soon. And how can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they find you on the internet?
Currently, I have a blog, so you can find me at shantaelovelysite.wordpress.com. Or you can reach me on Facebook, which is Shantae Richardson. And also, you'll see Shantae Lovely below it. So currently, that's how you can reach me right now.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking time. I am just blown away by the gift of forgiveness that you have displayed through not only your words on this interview, but your actions with your own mother. What a selfless act, as well as kudos to you for breaking cycle. You are now a mother, and your children don't have to tell your story. So thank you for that. Thank you for breaking the cycle. And thank you for, you know, reaching out. And I'm so glad that you contacted me and that we were able to set this up. So thank you. And I'll be praying for your book. Just thank you so much for this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shantae, for sharing your story of strength and perseverance. But more than that, thank you for breaking the cycle and being the mother that your children deserve and being the mother that you didn't have. Also, your gift of forgiveness and selflessness to your own birth mother is remarkable. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness is a gift to yourself, and it's an ongoing freedom for yourself. Oftentimes we feel like, oh, if I forgive that person, that's kind of their free ticket. They got away with something. But actually what it is it's saying, you know what? I'm not going to do the time for the crime because I did not do the crime. So I'm going to actually forgive others. In the Bible, it says to forget about the action that we forgave. Toss it to the deepest part of the ocean. And that's what Shantae actually displayed in her interview and her story. Like I said, her book, Dysfunctional Blessing, will be published soon. You can find her on her blog, which is Shantae Lovely Site, as well as Shantae Richardson on Facebook. Reach out to her. Support her. I thank you, Shantae, for blessing all of us with your strength and the gift of forgiveness. What a great lesson for all of us. Thank you to everyone listening. I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your strength. At times we think, really? I can't handle this anymore. But why are you sharpening my character more? But God, you have a plan. You have a masterpiece that you're creating, and we have to be that clay in your hands, and we have to trust that you are the potter. I thank you for Shante, youth in foster care that are alumni, youth that are in foster care right now, God. Please place a hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe. And let them know that we all love them and we support them and we are here to encourage them. I thank you for today, for breath. And I thank you for my family and my friends and all of the listeners. Amen. And here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. The truth is, bananas can't dance.
Victor, that's not how we rehearsed it.
Oh, the truth is, there is hope.
God saved you from every situation, and he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always be 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist that features soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you're tuning in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.